Blessed afternoon. Indeed, God is good to us. There are many blessings that He has given to us. Even this afternoon, it is a blessing to come to hear God's word. Many who live afar, who may not have the Gospels, have no opportunity to listen to the Gospels. But today, we have. It is a blessing. And this afternoon, we are going to meditate upon and learn precious lessons from the Word of God concerning helping the poor. The verse itself brings a promise and a warning at the same time. There's a promise of God's blessings upon those who are willingly helping others. And there's also a warning for those who are unwilling, hide their eyes when seeing one who's in need, but they hide their eyes. That means they're not extending their help. So there's a warning. And God says that blessings will be withdrawn from them. And God is actually displeased with that. We should help. The Lord takes notice of how we Christians, all the people, how they respond to the poor, the afflicted, and the helpless around us. Giving means also kindness and also showing concern. It is not just a social act, but also a spiritual responsibility and evidence of a heart that knows God. Therefore, this afternoon, let us deep dive together into this verse, Proverbs 28:27, to draw precious lessons, to learn about God's warnings, and also the practical application in God's word. And let us be stirred to walk in obedience, compassion, and be faithful stewards before the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee with a thankful heart that thou hast given us instructions on how we should help the poor and also how we should receive blessings, because blessings upon blessings thou hast given to us, and we in return should also bless others with the blessings that we ourselves receive. Lord, help us to understand that this is thy call, this is thy instruction for us to help others. Lord, help us to understand that even not helping yourself draws a warning from thee that, Lord, that thou wants us to move forward to help. Help us to remember that it is thy commandment. Help us, dear Lord, to continue to learn and to apply accordingly and be merciful upon us. And help us, dear Lord, to continue to thank thee for all things that we learn, that we may apply accordingly. Be with us, Lord, each one of us, and be with us, Lord, to learn. We thank thee for this view. We pray and ask for thy blessings this hour as we learn of thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. So the topic today is actually taken with this question asking, how far should we go to help the poor in the social and charitable organizations? Of course, there are many areas where we can help. There are many places that we can help. And there are many organizations out there that we can actually bring ourselves to help through this organization or even on our own standing. These are many ways that we could move forward. So how far should we go to help the poor? And let us understand that, slide 2, next slide. Let us understand that we live in a world where the poor are everywhere. We are confronted daily, directly or indirectly, where people are struggling. The verse itself, helping the poor, is not neutral. It is not neutral to say that means we don't have to do anything. It is not neutral in the sense that we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. It delivers a promise and a warning, as I was mentioning. And it calls for us, this verse calls for us to examine our hearts, our priorities, and our actions. What are we going to do after reading this verse? So it doesn't leave us neutral to sit down and say, oh, I know about it, and I'm not going to do anything. No, it is not a neutral commandment by God in this verse. It is a call for us to choose. The promise in this verse is that Those who help the poor shall not find himself poorer. Neither will he find himself lacking in terms of his wants and needs. That's God's promise. People sometimes say, well, give until I bankrupt. Where do I get my resources? The Lord says that no, by giving you shall not lack. God will continue to provide. This is the promise of God that you will not lack if you continue to be doing his will to give. The person giving will not be outside God's providence. God will provide for him. This is the promise of God. Also, this is a lesson in trusting in God's word. He said it, he do it, and that's it. This is his promise in this first part of Proverbs 28. He that giveth unto poor shall not lack. What about the warning? The warning is the second half of this verse. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. He that hideth his eyes means what? Those who know the poor, yet do not extend their help when they could and within their means. It means that those who have the means to help, they know it. They know who they are, but I'm not going to do anything. They hided his eyes to the poor, to the needy. And it is a willful, that means it's a purposeful, intentional decision to neglect to help the poor. The Bible talks of many curses, many a curse. That means that, well, there's a loss of God's favor. There's a hardened heart in you. And God is not pleased, and God will not bless. So in other words, is that this verse itself talk about what will happen if you do it. If you continue helping, God will continue to bless you. You will not lack. You will not say, oh, I will run out of resources. No. God's promise. And the other hand is, let me repeat, is as you harden your hearts, God will not be blessing you as well. Right? So God takes seriously how we respond to the needs of the poor. So God loves everyone, the rich and the poor. And this particular verse talks about God's attention, God's care even for the poor, not only the rich, even the poor. So who are the poor? Who are the poor? Next slide. The poor are basically not only financially poor. Because when we talk about poor, many of us automatically comes to mind are those bolui one, only poor without money. But no, the poor itself, we can physically identify them into various groups. The poor are not only those financially poor, but also those who are materially poor. That means those who start a possession. Their lack of daily necessities, like food, shelter, and some of these are homeless, you know. These are the poor, right? You can categorize the poor as not only no money, financial poor, but also those are materially poor. And those, they are physically weak. They are poor in that sense. They are weak. They need help. Those who need help actually are poor in the sense that, well, I can't do things on my own. I really need help. I'm a poor guy, you know. A poor guy needs help, right or not? So they also can be classified as a poor. A poor guy needs help, right? So this is also the physically poor. The sick, for example, the elderly, the disabled. And then those third category are those who are emotionally burdened. Those who have mental health issues. Those who are in broken relationship. They are broken, right? And those who are discouraged, they find hard. They find very hard to meet ends, to do things that they want to do. And many times they always receive a no for answer. So emotionally they are burdened. They really need help. They are discouraged. And then number four, those poor people are those that are needing help, are those that are socially displaced. For example, we can think of those refugees. Nowadays you hear of many refugees. Even Malaysia, we have refugees from Myanmar staying here. We have other nationalities running here from even the Middle East. They're also refugees where the government gives them help. So these are poor souls, you know, the poor people who runs all the way. In a sense, you can classify that as needing help, the poor ones. Then, of course, that the spiritual poor, those who doesn't know God, right? Spiritually, they do not know what they lack. They think they have, but they do not know they don't have. So we look at them, poor guy, you know, they do not know what they lack. So they are spiritually poor in the sense that they do not know who God is, the poor ones. So from our perspective, from my perspective, I would classify them as poor in this category. Let me repeat, they are the not only financial poor, they are the materially poor, they are the physically weak, they are emotionally burdened, they are socially displaced, or they are spiritually poor. As I started by saying that, if we look around ourselves, we are surrounded by all these poor people who need our help. Whether you like it or not, directly or indirectly, either you meet them or you hear somebody who needs help. Right? So we are surrounded by them. So what is the biblical responsibility is this, you know? What God, knowing this, what is the biblical responsibility for a Christian? I mean, when we say that this biblical responsibility is for a Christian, this also could apply for those who are not Christian, because it also applies to them to extend help as well. But for a Christian, we look specifically and we are encouraged by the verse in Proverbs 28:27, where the Bible is very clear, right? Give us to the poor, and also hide not his eyes. Very clear. And this applies to everyone itself who are able to help others as well. So he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Proverbs 28:27. But we also have another verse where God teaches us in Galatians 6:10. It says, as we have opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the households of faith. Let me explain how these verses intertwine, how these verses what are these two verses telling us. Believers are to show kindness and extend help without discrimination to all people. In other words, this verse itself says what? Christians, you are to extend help to the poor. Did he say only the poor in Christ? Or only you help only those who are Christians? No. The Bible talks about extend help to all those who are poor. In other words, there's no discrimination. Whether we extend help, we must extend help to the believers and non-believers. Right? This is what the Bible teaches. As we have done, okay, and then be to all people means believers and non-believers. And if you look at Galatians 6:10, how is it been interpreted as? It says that, as we have therefore opportunity, let us good unto all men. In other words, Galatians 6:10 is like Proverbs 28:27 says that we must extend help to everybody. But we know that all of us, even those of us who want to help, we also have limited resources financially, our energy, our time, right? And all sorts of resources are limited. So if there's a limitation of time, what did Galatians 6:10 tell us? Though both verses refers to as we should help all. But then due to limited resources, if the resources are limited, it says that especially unto them who are the households of faith. In other words, if you have to choose, because you have only 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And you're so much, your energy is so much. For Christians, it says that, well, we help everybody, but if you have to choose, you choose those who are the same households of faith. That means you choose those who are of the same faith as you. For us, Christianity is our brother and sister in Christ. Same household of faith. If you have to choose. But nevertheless, the commandment is for us to help everybody. But if you are due to, let me repeat, due to limited time, limited effort, limited energy, whatever it is, if you have to decide, because we cannot do, we want to do 1,001 things, but you know, in life, we all dream to do 1,001 things, even 2,000 things, right? But we only can do one thing at a time. So you have to choose, you choose. But using Galatians 6:10 to say that, okay, then if you choose, then start with your own home first. Your home is your church, your Christian faith, which is your brothers in Christ. Then after that, you may, if you have more time, then you extend out. That's what it meant. Okay, if you have to choose. Okay, then the next thing is, the critic's question he asked is, this is the next question, okay, sorry, I'm not finished yet. Okay, areas of service, a choice to make. I started by saying that there are many organizations out there, right? There are many opportunities out there where we can help the poor. For example, out there are many NGOs. NGO stands for non-government organizations. Of course, organizations, you have social welfare, they are also NGOs anyway, both local and globally. Many of us are spoiled with choice. If I want to help, I can go to this place to help or that place to help, right? So there are many places, many channels where you can bless others with. So I just want to highlight that there are many. There are many organizations, whether locally or globally, where they focus on societal needs. For example, there are organizations which provide help for disaster relief, right? Disaster relief, for example, flood, fire, war-torn countries, right? There are many organizations which go there to help. And then there are social groups who help elderly who need financial nursing care. There are also organizations where they are set up to help the elderly one to provide their needs. Also, there are organizations that help. Number three, there are also organizations, medical organizations, where they provide support group. For example, if you have heard about stroke support group, Parkinson's disease support group, and many, many support groups, also this is one way of helping. Remember, I was saying that the poor are many of these categories, even the physical weak. So these are also places where people can go and help the poor in that sense, right? And then, of course, you have this environmental group. The environmental group, that's a carbon remission. You know, there are some people who should say, oh, I want to save the world. I join organizations that talk about carbon reducing or ways to reduce carbon emission. There are many. So there are also political activist group. There are many environmental group. And, of course, there are also, number five is, there are also the activist group, those who fight for fairness. You know, oh, we are very poor. We always get suppressed, the poor. So I want to fight for their rights. Also, you can join. This is also helping the poor in that interpretation of what I defined just now, right? And of course, we are aware of many religious organizations where they also help those in need, right? Especially the Buddhism, you know, there are many, many temples and many, many church organizations as well, they also do that. So there are many. So in other words, that we all spot for choice to help. I just like to make known, right? Of course, as an individual, who you're helping or willing to help those poor and unfortunate. Each area of help and assistance, always remember, if you extend your help, whether through your organization or through yourself, on your own, stand alone, always remember, there's always limited resources on your own. So you have to choose wisely, right? It requires manpower, your time, your effort, your energy, your skill set, what skill set you have. You cannot just walk, if you walk in, want to help, you don't have skill set, people may not want you, you know. Right? So you also remember that all this helping also, you need your skill set and also finance as well, right? So it doesn't mean that some organization walk in, they need money for you, otherwise they say you don't come and help. We got enough manpower already, what we need is your money. So certain organizations may not want you. So be aware that there are many places where you can, and also be aware that you are also limited by your own capabilities, your time, your effort, and finance as well. But of course, the Bible calls for us to help. But decision is actually the church and you yourself as well, which I will touch on what does the church role in this instance and what is the individual roles that we have to consider for ourselves. That is your time, your effort. The individual has to decide to go alone. Then he has to look at himself, the organization, and his own capability, right? His own ability, as well as his own resources. Okay, I shall leave it at this time. For the time being, then we'll visit later. The next slide will be the church and the believers. What is the church role in these instances of when we read about Proverbs 28:27? To go out to help. It is also a call not only for the individual Christian or individual, but also it is a call for the church. Let us put in perspective, what is the primary role of the church? Then we know how we should approach this call. The church role is what? Spiritual, right? We are spiritual. Basically, the main objective of the church is what? To preach the gospel, to preach salvation, okay? To make disciples, that means to save souls into God's kingdom, right? And to care for the church congregation, to the members itself, and also fellow believers. And also, it also provides for Christian relief for the poor and needy. So these are four main, of course, that in Calvary Jaya, we have a constitution, we have an objective as well, but these are four main roles I pick up just for this afternoon's discussion, right? So it's a church call to help, right? Even the church constitution in Calvary Jaya, we also have a clause to help the needy, to provide for welfare. It's also inside our constitution. But let me repeat again. The main role is for spiritual soul and also for spiritual salvation. And all this will line up under this big umbrella of Christian faith. So to help the poor and needy, as I said, is embedded in the church work itself. In James 2:26, in the book of James, it calls the believer to do good works. Because in James 2:26, it says that faith without works is dead. In other words, if you say you are Christian, yet you do not want to help, are you sure you have the faith of Christ? So as a Christian, we are compelled to help because James tells us that if you are saved, you help. Because by your faith, you do good works, not the other way around. Christianity and belief in God for the salvation of souls is not based on good works. Christianity does not believe that I don't need to be a Christian. I need to do good works at marriage, then I go to heaven. This is not Christianity belief. For our doing good works is based on our faith, because the book of James, the Bible tells us that because of our faith, because of the love of Christ, because God tells us to help the poor, we help. This is to bear the fruits of good works. So for Christianity is faith, good works, salvation. Not good works equals salvation. No. That means that you do good works without Jesus Christ, you go to heaven. No, this is not Christian belief. A Christian belief is Christianity plus faith, then good works. Okay? For those of you who are not familiar, who are not Christian, I just like to explain. Okay? Of course, we all do good works like other non-Christians. We all do good works because the Bible tells us to do good works. The good works is, let me repeat, is because of our faith. So faith comes, then good works, not the way around. Okay, I hope I'm quite clear. And then because we are Christian, we obey and command the command of God because God tells us to help the poor, right? And not to close our eyes to help, right? So this is what it means. So the church is not exempted to help those in need, especially those who are the same household of faith. In fact, if you look at the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was on earth, he went about preaching, he went about healing the sick, he went about providing for people who need his help. He does that. Even after the departure of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also learn of the apostles, who was also busily sharing or preaching the gospels. And they do not have much time preaching. So the Bible says that they actually then appointed helpers to help out. Deacons will help out so that they have time to preach the gospel. In other words, is that the church's role is to preach and the rest is just to help out so that the gospels will continue to be preached and to be prospered. Okay? So the church must give priority to the preaching of God's word, and of course help comes along with it. So as a believer, as an individual sitting in the pulpit, what about me? Okay, you talk about a church. What about me? I'm a Christian. I come to this church. What about me? What shall I do? So you have to decide. This is your free will to decide based on your own ability, based on your faith. As a Christian, we are guided by the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is found in the book of the Bible. And we are told. So as a Christian, we must choose. We must decide that help must be extended by us, whether through NGOs, whether through established organization, or whether through a church. You have to decide. But of course, if you look at Galatians 6:10b, especially the household of faith, the choice is actually very clear. It is to the church that you can stand and help, because if you have to decide, this is what I meant to be deciding, which I will touch on a bit more later on. Now a bit about Calvary Jaya. What have we done? We say, oh no, you say the church doing helping out. What have you done? What have Calvary Jaya done? For many of you who may not know, I'm talking about the past and immediate past, what we have done. The church itself has provided monetary relief to a church in Thailand because of flood. Right, just an example, I'll give you an example of what we have done. What good acts of mercy, what help we have extended to the poor. Right, especially we talk about those who are affected by national disaster. Remember, when we categorize the poor, disaster group is so classified under the poor. We have extended, right? And we have given love gifts to brothers who are on the daily paid basis. When we learn that this brother is having problem because economy is bad, he cannot get enough for his daily work when he's paid daily, the church also has extended love gifts to this person. Right? This gift is an act of mercy. It's a benevolent gift as well. You can call it either benevolent gift or you call it love gift. Yeah, we have extended that way. And also, we have also given occasionally on-off love gifts to retired pastors who are retired, who are in poor health, on-off the church has given. And this all can be found. If you come for an ACM meeting, it's all recorded in the ACM meeting. It's all been audited. And then we also have provided for a sister for over 10 years who's neglected by the family, who stay in the aged homes. We've been providing for her on a monthly basis over 10 years already. And also we have also been helping a sister about 2 years back where the house was burnt, remember? Where we help her and the family go through those period of time when they were looking for alternative shelter. Suddenly the house was burnt. Everything is lost. They have nothing. Okay? So this is through financial. Of course, that we also have also sisters and brothers and sisters in Christ. Also, we have also seen individuals on their own through the church, sister in Christ, who has visited this brother who was having a terminal disease during the time of COVID, or was it before COVID? I can't remember when. Where he needs help, so the brothers and sisters went over there to help clean his house, bedrooms, and also through sometimes, you know, brothers who are locked in the house who doesn't know how to do Grab. I know of these brothers and sisters were provided for through Grab services ordered by the brothers and sisters in Christ. So all these are acts of mercy and benevolence. And these are people who are poor, who need help. Poor in a sense are not financially poor, but they do not know how to. Right? Sometimes you're rich, but you're poor in your how to get your phone working for you, how to call Grab service. So you're poor in knowledge. So brothers and sisters have done that. Especially COVID-19, when Grab service just emerged, still new. Not many people know how to use. And their brethren in the church has been helped by fellow brethren in the church when they arrange a Grab service to provide for those who are locked down during COVID-19. So these are a few examples. And then one example that I want to share with you is that the church about 3-4 years ago provided, purchased four plots of land for burial. We know that as a church, Calvary Jaya, we actually do not believe in cremation. We believe that souls who departed, the body must be buried. Sometimes it's not easy to get burial plots, you know. Right, everywhere people die, every day a lot of people die, and burial plots are actually not in Singapore, not, there's no rule in the land of Malaysia where we say that burial plots must be exhumed to make room for the new bodies that come in. Malaysia, we just add on, and so it runs up. So knowing this, and then I will stand in the burial, the church has actually bought 4 plots of land, consists of 12 burial lots for people who can't get land for emergency, can't get land, right? And the body is rotting away, you better get the land, you know? And we say no cremation. So along this belief this doctrinal teaching and our practice, because we cannot preach without practice, right? So along that line, the church leaders, and then it was presented to the congregation about two congregation back, ACM, where we brought a lot, and then also for those, let's say, who financially cannot afford to pay for burial ground. So it is the act of mercy that the session of the church say, okay, we buy this plot for people who cannot get land or for people who cannot afford even to buy a piece of land for burial. Of course, there's also SOP, you know, rules and regulations to manage this. It's not that everybody walks in, you know, and we give them the burial ground. But there must be certain qualifications. Otherwise, within short period, this land will be all taken away. It doesn't serve its purpose, the objective itself, to make sure that only those deserving, you know. Because some people may just say, oh, I can't get land without even getting, you know, inquiring around whether they are land or not. So we have to make sure they're land. But it's not easy. It's not easy to manage all these things because in terms of death, everything is very emotional. We cannot say, hey, show me your income. Show me, have you gone? It's also not easy, right? So there is also a lot of sensitivity. But the church has taken this challenge to provide for the poor and the needy. Has taken this challenge, praying that we will continue to do what God teaches us, and God will continue to give us the wisdom to continue to do His work here for His glory. This is what we have done. So these are just few examples. So thank God for brethren through the church, and on their own voluntary basis, on their own initiative, assisted and provided for one another who needed help. These are glorious blessings. These are godly blessings we can give to one another. God blesses, we bless others as well, as an individual and also as a church, because the church is set up for God's purpose, for God's kingdom. As I was saying, in Calvary Jaya, if you go through, those of you who are members, if you go through our church constitution, one of the objectives of the church also is to provide charity in assisting to the poor. So this is embedded. So it's a thing that is taught in the Bible and it's also in our constitution. There's no way to say the church won't help. Okay, this is for clarity as well for you to understand that this is it. Especially for members, you know what your church is doing. So how far should you go to help? The question is how far? Far itself could mean three different dimensions. How far means what geographical location we're talking about. Some people like say, I want to help, but I want to go overseas to help. So how far? It could mean geographical distance, right? Or how far could also mean how much time shall I give? Right? How much time? And how far could also means that what's the cost to me, you know? If I give, what will happen to me? So what's the cost? Is that a cost where after a while I said, no, I cannot help anymore because it costs me too much? So the question is, how far should you go to help? So these are three dimensions. The only thing I can answer you is, the church, we know that we have to go far. We have to go until the Lord comes. We will continue to bless our own congregation. We continue to bless God's people. We are continuing to not only to bless God's people, but also the community that we are in. If we can go further, we go further. If God allows us to go further. But meanwhile, at this moment of time, we are just focusing on our church because we have still many works not done yet, but we will move out when the time is coming. Okay? So same question for you. How far should you go to help? You decide. Basing on your own resources, and also provided your resources is not exhausted. Time, effort, money, right? And also don't forget your own life to lead as well. Right? So my view is that you must have the right intention and motive. When you decide how far should I go to help, you have to decide basing on your motive, your right intention. Some people help because they want to be glamorous, they want to get a title, they want to get recognized, they want to say, oh, he's a philanthropic, right? This is selfish interest. So you have to decide. If your heart is to help others without any intent of getting something back, that's good. But some people help because they have ulterior motive, want to get near to some datuk, for example. So, how far should you go? You ask yourself, what is your intention or motive? And also, you must also look at yourself, not only to answer your questions, your intention and motive, but also you have to ask yourself your own ability. Do you have ability? Sometimes you want to help, but you don't have your own ability. Right? You should check your own ability, your availability, and your capacity, whether you have or not. My view is, whether you want to help the poor outside or inside the church, or in a faraway land, you pray for God's wisdom and leading. As Christians, we have to pray for God's leading. Look at your own intention, that God will lead you. Let us look at the Acts 1, verse 8, what the Bible teaches about bearing good Christian testimony. Giving and helping and spreading gospel is all about Christian testimony and witnessing as well. So let's look at Acts 1:8. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples that they should not depart from Jerusalem until they have witnessed unto him. He says, if I read, starting from Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and then unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, you know, when he descended up to heaven, he told his disciples, okay, you must actually spread the gospels. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, okay, what you should do is, I ask you to share the gospel of salvation. You must start in Jerusalem first, because this Jerusalem is where the Lord Jesus was last evangelizing, last with his disciples, and he was crucified there. So he says you must start with Jerusalem first, the home base, where the disciples are, and then many there, all the 12. And then say, start with Jerusalem, and then along Judea, yeah, and then to Samaria, bigger, you know, Samaria is outside Jerusalem, and Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And then, uttermost part of the earth, that means away, go global. So, Jesus Christ himself gives us an example of how you should start your work, how you should start also helping. Everybody wants to help the world, but don't forget, start with the home base first. This is the pattern of growth that we can learn from Jesus when he told his disciples to say, okay, don't be so kanchiong, no? Don't be so anxious. You want to go everywhere already immediately. He said, no, establish your base first, Jerusalem. Then after that, your community, Judea. Then after that, Samaria. So that outer part was. So similarly for church patterns, even helping the poor, we start with our own community, the church, and then from there we go. So for the individual, you and me, putting the third chapter, now we are talking about individual, you and I sitting down there, say, okay, what is the lesson I'm going to learn, and how shall I decide? Where shall I go to help? Or how shall I help? Okay, using this pattern, let us consider starting to help the poor from our home base, the church. That is where we are, your own family. And then only later on, you slowly move outside to your neighborhood, to your community, and then maybe to the whole country, and then maybe to the world, you know. So this is a pattern of church growth that Jesus has told his disciples, starting from Jerusalem, or Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the world. Let me repeat, similarly for us, learning from what the Lord has told us, we start with the home bases, then our loved ones, then from there we start. Okay, this is a church we learn. The poor in the church, that means those who are spiritually lacking, those who come to church who are not saved, when you start with the church, the poor in this church will not only gain from your help, from your contribution, but also they will also learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. They also have the opportunity to enter in the kingdom of God. You start helping from a church and helping those who come to the church. Right? Instead of spending time, bye-bye, I've got to run to another place to do social work and then leaving the church, nobody speaks to those who come. Nobody speaks to those brothers and sisters who need encouragement. So, we should start here rather than immediately go out to help. This is just another illustration of helping within, starting from the home base, right? Do not be ambitious to rush off to help others, whereas your home base needs help to the present and also to those who are new. Helping out in the ministries, like for example, for the individual, there are many ministries where we can help the poor. Visitation, missions, right? They're slowly moving out. As a choir member, singing for the Lord, and also edifying all those who sit around. By singing, we also sing about the gospel message. They also encourage and bring message. And also, of course, as the greeters, Sunday school teachers, all these are profitable to yourself to help the poor. As well as also profitable to those who we are helping, sitting in the pews as well, visiting the church. Indeed, the Bible talks about the church, the harvest is ripe and plenty, right? And why do we rush out to help the poor outside the church, far away from the church, or far away from the home base? Whereas your church needs your help, your neighbor needs your help, your loved one needs your help. Now we're going to go out to help the strangers. So make your choice, make your priorities, start with home base. That's where you can start helping the poor. So the laborers are plenty. Right? The harvest are plenty. The laborers are few, not plenty. Right? So help within your home base. And then help to distribute the necessities to the brethren within the community. With this, you also, when you help, you have this eternal value in mind. Not only for the brethren, also for visitors, and so we know that we are helping others physically, materially, mentally. Yeah. Visitation is also a social visit. It's for those who are maybe need visit because they have a mental challenge. They need someone to talk to. So this is also help that you extend. These are the poor as well. So church also got this visitation. You can also go as a visitation, under this visitation group. So there are many, many. Okay. So in conclusion, it is for the love of God and obedience to His commandments that we respond to help the poor, which are also the needy. The poor actually are the needy because, well, financially, they need finance, we give, we help by acts of benevolent act or acts of mercy. Or those who need nursing care, we help. We can provide, we help. Those who are mentally challenged, we can help by giving relief and so on and so forth. So by helping out as Christians, we reflect the love of Christ. Not only for brothers and sisters, for all mankind. For everyone. We are supposed to help everyone. But due to limited resources, start with your own church. Because the Bible teaches that we cannot help everybody because that's all. You have two legs, two arms. Right? Start somewhere where it's more practical, more real. Your own base. Your own brethren. Start with that. Okay? He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Let me repeat. When you help out, when you give financially or your time or effort, you will not be short of that. You will not be poorer in terms of your resources. God's promise is that you shall not lack. God will continue to provide for you. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. But he that hides his eyes shall manifest. Right? You think you're not helping, you're conserving your resources? No. You have nothing. God says there's no blessings for you. So this is a call for believers to seize every God-given opportunity to do good to all people while giving priorities to brothers and sisters in Christ. To all people while giving priority to brothers and sisters in Christ. This underscores the teaching that charity begins at home and ensuring a good Christian testimony. God is love. God loves all. We should not hide our eyes from helping others when we have the means to do so. Indeed, the harvest for salvation of souls is plenty and certain. Right now, there are many souls out there. Salvation is certain, that people are out there wanting to be saved. It's certain. There's really a need for help to go out there. It's certain. So, go out. Through such love for helping, we also open doors to the heavenly kingdom, to those who seek. In this manner, let me conclude by saying that starting as per pattern set by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us start by with the church, because the church provides an ideal platform as you decide how far and where you should help the poor. Start here. It's the ideal platform. You're still answering the call to God's commandment. It's a challenge of trusting and obeying and carrying through action. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for this time of meditating on thy word. We continue, Lord, to look for thee, to look to thee for wisdom. May thou continue to speak to us and help us to make godly, wise decisions to help the poor, to help the needy, to help the unfortunate, to help those who need help. Lord, may we do thy calling. May we do according to what thou wants us to do. We know that we shall not lack by doing thy work. Lord, help us, Lord, have mercy upon us. May we respond in this manner, giving you all the glory, giving you all thanks, because thou art God, the God that continues to look and care for us as well. Thank you, dear Lord, for this. I give you thanks in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.